Morning, everybody. Very
warm welcome to you. My name's Simon. I'm the associate vicar here. And if you're visiting us this morning as well, it's great to welcome you here. We're going to think about that Bible passage this morning and think about joy. We're in a season of joy, aren't we, of Christmas time, where we celebrate. And there's lots to celebrate. And we love gifts. When I was growing up, my parents would allow us to open one present before the service at Christmas, and then we could open the rest of the presents after the church service around the Christmas tree. And so one particular Christmas, I remember my brothers and sisters' presents got messed up, and that my sister opened my brother's Action Man tank, and my brother opened her Barbie, and Christmas was never quite the same. We were always a bit nervous about what we were going to get that Christmas coming. But these gifts are a sign, aren't they? We're remembering what God has done for us. That God has given us the gift of his Son. And that's why we give each other presents. It's a sign of love. It's a sign that we love one another. And it's great to give gifts. But I think joy has that meaning, but it also has another meaning too, a deeper meaning, which I want to explore a little bit this morning, a sense of joy and unpacking that. So just have a think to yourselves for a moment about some of the happiest times, the most joyful times of your life. If you think back, maybe it was your baptism. Maybe it was the birth of your first child. Maybe it was getting your A-level results or graduation day or your wedding day. You know, these sorts of days. Just think back on those moments. See, I like to think of these as heaven and earth moments. A time when heaven meets earth, the two kind of come together, and we get a taster of what heaven might be like, that sense of joy, that sense of peace, of wonder. And we celebrate these times, don't we? And rightly so, we celebrate these great moments of life, a bit like our sort of 18th birthdays or 21st birthdays. They mark a new era, a new stage of life, don't they? And we celebrate not just the event itself, but the fact that these events mark a whole new season. So a wedding day marks the birth of a new marriage. Or baptism, the beginning of a Christian walk. Great to celebrate. And in our passage today, we have a sense of one of these heaven meets earth moments where the angel comes to angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, "You're going to be with child." Heaven and earth perhaps meeting in the most profound way ever. And there's a sense of real joy in this passage. I don't know whether you sort of can just pick up if you've got the Bible open there. Verse 30, it says, "Don't be afraid, you have found favor." In verse 41, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting and the baby leapt in her womb. And verse 44 tells us that the baby was leaping for joy. And then verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." A real sense of blessing, of joy, of celebration. And this sort of unique heaven and earth moment in the foretelling of Jesus' birth brings with it great joy, but it also brings one of those milestones, a bit like our 18th birthday, that kind of coming of age moment. This is a whole new era being born here in the birth of Christ. And so there's this double celebration, a celebration that we're going to look at and unpack a little bit this morning. Excuse the pun, we're going to unwrap the gift of Christmas. And it's a double celebration because in this we discover not that What God is like, we discover that he loves us and came to meet us in his son Jesus. But this also, this new era is a new era of peace, and it changes the course of history. It changes the destiny of humankind for all time. That's how significant this occasion is, this heaven meets earth moment. And we're going to think about that. We're going to think about two things. We're going to think about who this king is and what his kingdom is like. Who this king is and what his kingdom is like. We look at verse 32. It tells us about this king. It says, "He will be great." This is Jesus. "And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." A double celebration. A good king and a great kingdom. So let's think about this king in a bit more detail. in our first reading today from Isaiah, it tells us something about what our great King Jesus is going to be like. It says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So in this heaven meets earth moment, we see three things happening. We meet the good King, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. But we also meet righteousness and we meet justice. That's what the kingdom looks like. We've got a good King and we have his kingdom, which is characterized by righteousness and justice. A Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. What a thing to celebrate. That's what God's like. He's a Wonderful Counselor. He is a Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but the world could use a Wonderful Counselor. We could use some peace as we think about the events of this past week. And so we celebrate Christmas because this isn't just some kid being born. This is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to be with us. And he is the Lord God Almighty, but he is a Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. That is something to celebrate. But what about his kingdom? What does that look like? Well, as it says in Isaiah there, it says he rules over his kingdom and upholds it with justice and righteousness. So let's think about what righteousness means. In one of the few Sunday school lessons I was paying attention in, my Sunday school teacher taught me about righteousness, and I remember this vividly to this day. She said, righteousness is really about being in the right with God. And it's got kind of two arrows to it. Being in the right with God, it's that we're reconciled with God. We can be at peace with God. And so it's this kind of vertical relationship, if you like. Our relationship with God. That axis there, that arrow. And this is what Jesus does, and that's why we celebrate him coming, is that he puts us in the right with God. That's what righteousness means. So it's great news that because he lived a sinless life, because he lived a perfect life, he is able to pay the price of our sin. And so we can be put in the right with God. So when we come to God who is holy, who can't mix with sin, Jesus comes and says, I will take that sin myself. And when you come and you ask forgiveness, you can be reconciled with God, put in the right with God. So that's the righteousness we have. We can be in the right with God. But there's another arrow as well, another axis, which means that we're in the right with each other. The horizontal axis, if you like. Vertical one with God, but also the horizontal one, how we are to be in the right with each other. That's how peace kind of works in the Christian worldview, that we're in the right with each other and in the right with God. And this is what Jesus does. By his example, what do these two axes make? They make a cross, don't they? Jesus puts us in the right with God, but he puts us in the right with each other too, because he's given us the example of how we're supposed to live. We forgive each other. Just as we receive forgiveness from God, we are to forgive each other. In baptism, we have that wonderful symbolism, don't we, of being washed clean, that sense of a fresh start. God gives us that through Jesus. And he also calls us to give each other a break, to say, yes, you can have a fresh start with each other as well. So we put aside our anger, we put aside our rage, we put aside our frustration, we put aside our pride, and we follow Jesus' example. And we are to be put in the right with each other by forgiving one another, just as God forgave us. So righteousness, in the right with God and in the right with each other. So let's think about the next part, his kingdom. The kingdom of justice. See, when heaven meets earth, supremely in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, we not only encounter a good king and we discover his righteousness, what he does for us by reconciling us with God and with one another, but we also discover the true nature of justice and God's justice. Now, we have a fairly fickle relationship with justice, don't we? I'm sure all of us at some point have driven down the motorway at, say, 80 miles an hour. So we break the rules a little bit. You know, 80 is okay. You know, it's a 70 limit, but, you know, 80 is okay. Most people will be fairly comfortable doing 80 miles an hour. But we scorn, don't we, at the person tailgating us going sort of 100, 120 or whatever it is. And then when they're pulled over by the police 10 miles or whatever down the road, we smile smugly, don't we? We say, you get your comeuppance. But yet, have you ever been pulled over? Yeah, you cry for mercy, don't you? You have a totally different relationship with justice then. If you're the one in the wrong, it's like, oh, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I was in a hurry. I've got to get somewhere really quickly. And so our idea of justice is fairly fickle, let's be honest about it, you know? We're happy to break the rules a little bit, but if someone does wrong, well, we're quick to jump in and accuse them and say, oh, that's well out of order. But if we're in the wrong, then we cry for mercy. And justice is a big subject. I can only touch a basis of it this morning. But I just want to make the point, really, that in God's kingdom, justice is fundamentally a really positive thing. It maybe challenges our view of justice. Why is it a positive thing? Well, because, understand that we've had righteousness already. If you can just put yourself in the shoes, if you like, of those who don't have justice. So we hear all these riots in America, people crying out for justice. Or the shootings at the school this week, innocent people. If we were related to these people, or we knew them personally in some way, we would be crying out for justice, wouldn't we? We'd be crying, Lord, please, would you come and bring justice? Would you put things right? And that's what I think justice in God's hands can look like, as well as looking like other things. But this morning I want us to think about that's what it can look like. It's putting wrong things right. So when the poor are given gifts so that they can survive, when the hungry are fed, when the homeless are given homes and shelter, when the hopeless are given hope, when those in darkness are shown light, when those who are mourning are given comfort. That's what justice kind of begins to look like in God's kingdom. He turns things around and he puts the things that we know are wrong, he makes them right. And we know that that's good and right. And also, we cry out when there is injustice, don't we? And those guys committing those killings in the school, they will be held accountable. Not necessarily in this life, but certainly when they meet God face to face, they will have to give an account, as we all will, which is a very sobering thought. But the good news is, again, that because of Jesus, we can be put in the right with God. No matter what we've done, if we've come to Him and said, Lord, I'm sorry, please would you forgive me, wash me clean, that I may walk a new life with you, well then God will forgive us. And God puts things right. That's why justice is something else to celebrate. So where does this leave us for today? What does this mean for us as we come into this Christmas season? Well, I think we've got a lot we can learn from Mary. And just thinking about how heaven can meet earth and her story. And she says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Now, thankfully, I don't think God is calling us to do exactly what Mary did. But her attitude is something we can really learn from. See, God is looking for people to partner with him in building his kingdom, in seeing heaven meet earth moments come alive in people's lives. And he's just looking for someone who's willing to say, yes, Lord, here I am, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. What has God said? Well, to each and every one of us, there's an opportunity to join him in his kingdom, to be forgiven by God and then empowered by him to go and change the world by looking for heaven meets earth moments. And we don't do that in our own strength. Just as Mary needed the Holy Spirit to do God's will, so do we. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and gave her the ability to conceive God's Son. See, when we partner with God, his Holy Spirit overshadows us. He fills us and he equips us to go and take good news to the world. And that can seem a daunting task, can't we, when we see headlines like we've had this week. But that is the key verse today, isn't it? Nothing is impossible with God. And if God is living in us by his Holy Spirit, then there's nothing we can't achieve. The work might seem awesome to us, but with God on our side, there's nothing we can't achieve. So we can go out, we can make a difference to those who are on the streets. We can make a difference to those who will go without food this week. We can make a difference to those who won't really know the joy of Christmas by supporting charity. This is why we're a church of mission. We've got our mission partners all over the world doing heaven meets earth moments. And it's so exciting, isn't it, when we see people's lives transformed. And many of us here will sit here today knowing that we've seen and known the joy of seeing lives changed by God's people being full of his Holy Spirit and bringing his compassion to the world. So if that's something that interests you, have a look at the backboard and look at the missions of the month. Maybe support one. Or maybe think about people that you can get alongside this Christmas to support and bring hope to a world that desperately needs hope. And there's two other things, I think, that God wants to say to us this morning. And it's to do with that righteousness thing. I don't know where you are on your walk with God. You might be like Olivia, just starting off on your journey. But I just encourage you, we have an opportunity this morning as we come to the Lord's table to be put in the right with God, to seek God's forgiveness, either for the first time. You say, Lord, if you're there, I want to be forgiven. I want to know the joy of your forgiveness. Please would you forgive me? Or maybe it's something afresh we need to seek forgiveness on. And here with the bread and wine, we remember Christ's death for us that pays the price for our sins so that we can be put in the right with God. And we'll have an opportunity, I'm sure, to confess before we take that bread and wine. That's a sign of being put in the right with God. But perhaps more challenging is maybe we need to be put in the right with each other. Perhaps there's someone this Christmas you need to go and be reconciled with. And that can be hard. It can be hard to forgive hurts where it's been so damaging and painful. But perhaps, if we think about the scripture this morning, nothing is impossible with God. We can take that, and that can encourage us to be reconciled with one another. I encourage you to do that and seek peace. Don't forget, God is the wonderful counselor. He will guide you in that conversation. And if that's something you'd like prayer for at the end of the service, please come and pray with me or Stephen. We would love to pray with you. Because it's important that we're in the right with God, in the right with each other, and filled with his Holy Spirit. Because he is the Prince of Peace. And all of us could use a little more peace. Should we pray? Just invite the band to come up. In fact, why don't we stand? You've been sitting listening to me for ages. We'll stretch a leg and I'm going to pray. And then we'll go into our song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that because of him we can be put in the right with you and with each other. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill each one of us. That you would cement those truths in our heart. The truth that God loves us. That he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. That we can know forgiveness. We can know peace. A peace that can only come from knowing you, our Heavenly Father, and being reconciled with you. Holy Spirit, I pray for any of us here that need to be reconciled with one another. That you would help us to forgive. Even if that seems impossible, we thank you that with you nothing is impossible. and that there would be genuine forgiveness and reconciliation and new hope and new relationship born out of you working in our lives and us being courageous enough to follow that through. And Lord, we do remember those in the world that do not know peace. And we pray that you would fill each and every Christian throughout the world to give them courage to go out and make a difference in your name, in your power. That hope may be brought to those that don't have hope this Christmas. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.